This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Unite the nation.
Amazing, 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 so damn amazing. We live for days of no crime. We need more scholars, deep minds, less drug dealer, more leaders shining, plus more father figures, less time in. It's so real, it's go here. No place for comfort, it's so weird. Let music bring back the soul, yeah. Love all people, that's why you're broken. Hey, hey,
what is going on, party people in the house? Yo, welcome back to what I hope is your favorite podcast. I used to say I hope is one of your favorite podcasts. Bump that. I hope it is your favorite podcast. Take that, Catch, Jason, Dustin, and soccer people and all your other stuff on here. Welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. And I am your host. I am your Drunk Uncle, Anwar Richardson. And for the next 30 minutes or so, I hope to be able to present to you some new, unique, fun things, have a fun conversation, a fun podcast, not being too redundant upon anything. But thank you for listening, because I know you have tons of options that are out there. So I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you guys supporting, as always. You know, we're 140 episodes in, man. So we've been doing it. Thank you for all you guys who have listened to me for a long time. And this is your first time listening. Thank you for at least giving it a shot. I definitely appreciate it. This podcast, by the way, is brought to you by the Lowy Law Firm. There's a while where I didn't have a sponsor. And there's probably a good reason why, because I probably would have scared them away. But now, Adam Lowy has got your man. Guys, Adam Lowy supports your boy, Adam Lowy. Look, he's one of the top personal injury lawyers here in Austin. Adam is a proud graduate of the University of Texas School of Law, and this dude started his law firm in 2005, okay? So Adam helps people who have been injured in car crashes, slips and falls, dog bites, and other assorted ways. He is actively involved in every case he handles and is always available to talk or text. I feel like that's really important. Because I would just try them. I'm going to text you 2 o'clock in the morning. What you doing? What you doing? See if his wife answers, you know? Just break up a happy home. So if you or a loved one has been injured, call the Lowy Law Firm today at 512-280-0800. That is 512-280-0800. Telling your main man, Anwar Richardson, your drunk uncle, sent ya, and I appreciate it. Okay, it's going to be one of those things that there will be no fun introductions, nothing to really talk about as relates to the family and what's going on with my kids. Kids doing great, by the way, for those who are wondering. My oldest son turns 8 years old in the beginning of January. So he and I, it's kind of cool. Like my birthday is the last week of December. His first birthday is the first week of January. So I know what it's like to be that person who has to wait 51 weeks for one cool week and then nothing else. Like people, you guys have your January birthdays, July birthdays. Like you get to break it up. But us who are like late in the year, this is it. Like this is it. It literally for me, it goes like Christmas, birthday, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. That's it. And then I'm done. I'm done for the rest of the year. I've got nothing else to really look forward to. My son's kind of the same way. You know, he's got about 50 weeks or 49 weeks and or whatever it is. I'm not doing math really well. And then he's got a cool thing, but he's doing good, man. The kids are looking forward to Christmas and, really excited To be spending time, with them. Hopefully after this Texas-Kansas game, we can do a few more Christmassy things together, me and my boys, the little Richardson men. But, I really wanted to kind of, I was trying to figure out where to go as I record this on a Wednesday afternoon. Because at this point, you already know about Urban Meyer. You already know that after a heavy pursuit of Urban Meyer, Texas seemingly did not get its man. And I say seemingly because, I'll get into that in a second, but, no one's really said officially, but for the most part, it's a wrap, right? And then the question really becomes, since that's a wrap, and that hasn't happened, where does Texas go from here? I mean, that's really the question that you have to ponder is, okay, what's next? Where does Texas go from here? What's going to be the next moves? And what is going needs to happen for you to get the program that you want? For you to have the program that you desire, for you to have the program that's competing for championships, for you to have the program that one day is competing to be in the CFP, for you to beat TCU. How about that? Just to have a program that could beat TCU. But a program can at least get to the Big 12 championship every year consistently, the way that Oklahoma does, and they do it extremely well. The question becomes, what happens now? What becomes the next move? And I've seen, or as I've looked on Orange Bloods, there's been a lot of speculation as to what the next move for Texas should be. What should be the next from a coaching perspective, what they should do with Tom Herman, what they should not do with Tom Herman. Everyone's very opinionated at this time. Everyone just feels like, okay, I've got the plan. And some of them are interesting. Some of them very interesting. But I decided to come up with my own. My own things. I decided to come up with what I feel like what needs to happen. And I really sat down and, I'm not a huge numbers person. Like, I don't like 5 things to this, 10 things to that. Like, I don't like that. I feel like, honestly, it's kind of clickbait. I mean, I just honestly just never have loved it. But in this instance, I'm not trying to get clickbait at all. I just said, okay, what are the things that need to happen? It's going forward since there's no Urban Meyer, apparently that's coming. Like, unless something just happens and Urban just decides to wake up and he's like, hey, man, I have to change my mind. And I just want to coach at the University of Texas, in which case, everybody gone. Because as soon as the paperwork's done, everyone's going to have to find a new job. So since Urban hasn't said anything to that effect, I started saying, okay, well, let's deal with present day. And here's the things I came up with, the 5 things that really, really need to happen immediately, really over the month of December, as relates to the Longhorn football program. Let me give you the first one. The first one is Herman needs a vote of confidence from Del Conte. I know. Hold on. Relax. Herman needs a vote of confidence from Chris Del Conte, his boss. Listen, at the end of the day, when we look at everything that has happened this year, and really most importantly toward the football season, it's been everybody knows that there's been a sort of disconnect, somewhat of a rift between Chris Del Conte and Tom Herman. And a lot of it, / the majority of it, it really all centers around the eyes of Texas. Like, that's really what this whole thing between them ends up being about. Ends up being about a coach, who was thrown into a tough situation, incredibly choppy waters to navigate. Ketch and I talked about it on the Overreaction podcast, and I won't go as deep into it as we did on that one, but a coach that was thrown into a very tough situation with players, whether you agree or not, let's just take the feelings and emotions of I agree with what they said or not agree with what they said. Let's just deal with the facts of the situation. And the facts were, you had players who were upset about things going on in the world, and they also started looking at things at home, and they wanted to change the eyes of Texas. And you had these players who were upset and decided like they didn't want to sing or participate in the song. And then suddenly you had coaches thrown in a situation that they were not accustomed to or used to or prepared for. And you had an athletic director thrown into a situation that he's not accustomed to, used to, or prepared for. And everybody had to figure it out on the fly. And because things didn't go well, and because things went poorly, for lack of better terms, yeah, became a little finger pointing. There became a little, you should have done that, or you should have did this, or you should have done that, and you should have did this. And then there became this distancing of Del Conte and himself in the football program. And then as a result of that, and that distancing, there became the perception that Tom Herman is going to get fired. And because of that, you start eventually losing recruits. I'm not saying he didn't lose recruits before that, but it didn't help. And it definitely didn't help from a recruiting standpoint, whether you have the Quinn Ewers decommit or you have guys who don't want to commit. And now that the Urban Meyer thing is over, the best thing that can happen is that Chris Del Conte comes out sometime after the Kansas game. And what he needs to say is, Tom Herman's my guy. Now, listen. Tom Herman's my guy for the 21-21 season. Now, listen. That doesn't mean you don't get into January, second week of January, third week of January, and you feel like, hey, I can make a move or I can get something done. That doesn't mean that cannot happen. But what it does mean is, for at least the time being, that cloud is lifted. That whole angst and hostility and all that thing that's happening, that, it seems like these guys don't get along, and it doesn't look good from an outside perspective, because if you talk to people who are not associated with the program, it does seem weird to them that these two don't get along. It's not the first time a coach and an AD hasn't gotten along. This has happened. You got to remember that Tom Herman was not hired by Chris Del Conte. So Chris Del Conte came along after Tom. So there is going to naturally have that potential of not being aligned. But it really, really boils down to a couple of things. It really boils down to the eyes of Texas and, of course, the losses. The eyes of Texas magnifies the losses. But if Chris Del Conte says, look, it's time to move on, time to let bygones be bygones, and this is the coach going forward, then that's what needs to happen. That's the first thing. The first one parlays into my second point, which is Herman has got to find a way to keep together this recruiting class. Now, the easiest way for Herman to keep this recruiting class together, the easiest way for him to be able to pull this off, is by recruits knowing, at least in some form or context, that the person that's talking to them on the phone is not going to get fired in a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, that will help recruiting a little bit. Just the belief that, oh, okay, listen. So Tom Herman can get on the phone, and not just Tom Herman. I mean, it's not just Tom Herman. And Tom Herman's the easiest person to point out here. But it's Mike Yurcich. It's Chris Ash, right? It's Jay Valai. It's every assistant that's on there. It's the support staff. No, it's Chang. It's Carrington. It's everybody who works in this recruiting monster, behemoth. They need to be able to stick their chest out when they talk to these recruits and say, hey, this is UT. We're here. Dude, I don't know. We may not be here in a couple of weeks. And not be able to say it and stick your chest out. Kevin Hart would say it with your chest. So without being able to say it with your chest, that's tough. Just think about trying to sell something where everyone knows, you may not be here. You could be fired. So if Chris Del Conte gives them the green light, then what that means is Texas has a chance to hold together this recruiting class. And that's what Tom Herman needs to do. He can't afford any more losses, right? He can't have any guys decommit. And look, I saw that, was this Miss Linsky is potentially like looking around. Can't have that. Like, this, you just can't. You got to make sure all those guys stay in the fold, and you got to make sure that, hey, you're still good. You got to still try to, you know, you still, and you still got to find a way to maybe you can close on an LJ Johnson. You know, you still got to find a way to pull things off. So Tom has got to keep this recruiting class together. Can't take any more losses, can't take any more hits, can't take any more decommits. You know, they've got to find a way to add on, but for sure, don't lose. Like, that's very important. Like, with Tom Herman, I'm telling you right now, don't lose nobody else. Don't lose nobody else. Just tell everybody, hold on. Help is on the way. But please, 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 officer, stay with me. And here's the third one. This is going to be, I believe, the toughest one for you guys. And this is going to be the one that's, I believe, is going to be unpopular. It'd probably be the thing that everyone focuses on as relates to the podcast, and I'm going to put the sandwich in, right? So I put it at number three intentionally, right? It's the, you know, the sandwich is the meat in the middle, the bread on the outside. So you kind of just you guys take some sort of psychology or business management. You kind of understand this. But here's the third one. Fans may just have to accept that Tom Herman will be back next season. Oh, damn. Okay. Stay with me. Don't curse me out. don't do it to me. I need you to stay with me. I'm right here. I'm your man, your drunk uncle. Stay with me. Texas fans may have to accept that Tom Herman will be back next season. Oh, why? Because here's the problem. And this is the situation that Texas finds itself in and has put itself in. When you go all chips in on Urban Meyer, which, by the way, I have no problem with Texas going all chips in on Urban Meyer. If you have a chance to obtain a Hall of Fame coach, you do it. If you have a chance to upgrade, you absolutely do it. Look, I drive a Ford. Nice Ford Taurus, but it's a Ford Taurus. But if you're telling me, hey, Onward, you got a chance to, you know, trade that Taurus in, and you can upgrade to another vehicle, you know, a Benz. I'd rather have something American. I was gonna say Benz, maybe a Cadillac. Was that stereotypical? No, Cadillacs are beautiful cars. Maybe a nice American cars. I'm like, never forget that, Germans. I lived in Detroit. I lived in Michigan, man. Like, you know, when you live in a city and you see people lose their jobs and their factory jobs and lose their livelihood because people are buying cars overseas, like, it's hard for me to ever want to mess with anything like that. I'm sorry, but that's just my American spiel right here. Proud to be an American, USA, all that type of stuff. Like, but when you know people work hard in factory jobs and lost it, I can't buy anything else. You want to buy a Volkswagen, that's on you. You want to buy something else, that's on you. But it, you know, give me my American stuff. Anyway, if I have a chance to upgrade to a high level vehicle without much of a loss, I'm going to do it. And guess what? When it comes to Texas, and they have the opportunity or potential to at least upgrade to Urban Meyer, you got to try. I mean, you owe it to yourself to try. You owe it to yourself to see if it can happen. Like, there's nothing wrong at all with what Texas did. It was a smart move. It was a smart play. But what seemingly has happened is there really isn't a plan B. Like, there really isn't. There's a lot of names out there. But here's the issue. And I wrote about this in my Sunday pulpit that was the comments were pages thick. The views were incredibly heavy. And the title of it was, If Not Urban, Then Herman. The issue that I bought in there and that I raised in there, that was not only some of my thoughts, but things that, you know, I was also sensing behind the scenes, it's very hard for some to make that move. And I think it's very hard for Texas to make a move and say, okay, they're going to go ahead and get a brand new coach without knowing for sure that this guy is going to be much better than Tom Herman. If you're Texas, you've got to be a little concerned. You just got to be a little concerned because your last two hires, you know, you were guessing on Charlie Strong. Maybe he can do it. Hey, did it in Louisville. Kind of try to connect some dots. Well, maybe he could do it here. He's not really recruited the state. Maybe he could pull it off. And it didn't happen. And then he said, okay, all right, well, Tom Herman, he had that one good year at Houston, and yeah, he's from around here, so maybe he can go ahead and coach here at the University of Texas, and maybe he can, bring home, a Big 12 championship, and like maybe he can handle the pressures of what it takes to the coach here. And so far, you haven't received the results that you want. The reason why I'm hesitant to say, well, it doesn't work, because it's kind of weird, but Charlie didn't work, right? And it's easy to say that because it didn't. Tom Herman's still the coach, so it's hard for me at this moment to say, well, it didn't work. It's not working. You're not getting the results that you want, whether it's on the field, and definitely recently in recruiting, not getting those things. So it's safe to say it's not working. But if you're Texas, and then you got to start saying, okay, well, what else is left? Because you're not going to get Dabo Swinney. Stop. You know, sometimes I talk to Texas fans who, are friends of mine, and they start telling me certain things. It's like, all right, stop. Nick Saban's not coming, okay? Dabo Swinney's not coming. Dan Mullen, why is he leaving Florida? Like, he's in the SEC championship. People who've established championship caliber programs where they're at normally just don't leave on GP. They just don't do that. No one's like, man, I built this thing up. Well, now it's time to go. No. At that point, when you get the machine rolling, at that point, no, you don't want to just leave it. So you start thinking about, well, what's left? And, listen, Mario Cristobal a couple of weeks ago probably ends up being the guy. Then Mario Cristobal loses two straight. James Franklin, tough sell right now. Tough sell, homie. I mean, we know for the past couple of years, James Franklin was very good. I mean, that's not an issue. But right now, his team isn't. And look, I understand that there are a lot of variables that go into why his team is struggling, whether, the injuries, COVID, all those type of things. But 2-5 is 2-5. I mean, that just is what it is. 2-5 with three games left. So even if you get to, you get 5-5? I mean, what sell is that to a Texas fan? Because all Texas fans are saying, well, so what you're saying is everything has to be perfect in order for old boy to win. So that doesn't work. And then you start just going down the list. And then it really becomes, okay, who's worth firing what you got? What do they say? What's the old saying? A bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. Who's worth saying, you know what? I'm gonna let go of the guaranteed this for the unknown. Because you know what the unknown can be. You understand, okay, well, Tom Herman is giving you around 8 wins a year, right? I don't know what his average is, but, with the Sugar Bowl win, it's probably around 8 is what I'm guessing. 8 point something, right? But you know what it's like when you guess and get wrong, when you get it wrong, because that was what preceded Tom Herman. That's what happens when you guess and get it wrong. So if you're Texas, you got to say, okay, listen, we know for sure that Urban Meyer is guaranteed money in the bank. Ain't no doubt about it. But we don't know if these other people are money in the bank. And some of the other people that you can just guess on, the Boise State guy and, Tony Elliott, which, would be very intriguing, by the way. I'm very intrigued by it. I don't know if I want Tony Elliott's first job to be here at UT, per se. Like, I think that's asking a lot. That's throwing a guy really into the fire. To guess on how it's supposed to go. But I definitely think he's got potential. it probably needs to make a stop or two before you get thrown into, you know, this kind of pressure cooker. And then when you start going down the list and you start saying, man, well who's worth dropping 25 mil to get rid of Herman? 25 mil is a lot. Some of y'all act like, well, because it's not your money, that's not a lot of money. It's still a lot of money, okay? To somebody, it's a lot of money. Somebody who's got to cut the check, it's a lot. They just cut the check. I mean, they can. I mean, but that being said, I mean, you might be able to spend $100 at will, but do you? Do you just give it away at will? Or do you say, whoa, okay, hold on. What you need this $100 for? Right? I mean, that's what happens. And that's why I think Texas fans at some point have to start getting into the acceptance mode that, you know what, this could potentially happen. Because I think UT, this my belief, might be wrong, but my belief, things I'm talk to some people about, it just looks like at the end of the day, without a clear upgrade, it makes it seem like, okay, are they going to get rid of him and then guess again? Or are they going to keep him and then hope for the best in 2021. If it works out, great. If not, keep it moving. But they've got to find that guy. And if they don't know what it is, then you don't make a move. Now look, that creates a really, really screwed up situation for Tom. Like let's be clear, right? Because if he's in 2021 season and everyone thinks he's a potential lame duck quarterback, he ain't gonna get anybody in 2022 recruiting class. Just not. So it's a tough situation. But at this point, next year is gonna be a rebuilding year, more than likely. So do you want to have the person who at least knows all of the players and is familiar with the situation and maybe potentially can do something with it as opposed to totally guessing and totally guessing wrong in a project that's going to take even more years? That's the question. Not trying to be Debbie Downer, but just the acceptance of it. It might make you a little bit happier too, guys. I know you guys are upset. It's holiday time. But sometimes you just got to say, all right, this thing might be inevitable. I've got to start coming back to the real world here. And look, if you're like me, this is how I operate. I'd much rather be pleasantly surprised that something that happened that I didn't expect than to just keep walking around and hoping that it's going to happen. I just live in this reality where I'm like, I ain't going to sit here and hope and dream. I will just sit here and do what I need to do. And if it happens, fantastic. That's all I got to say on that. An acceptance level that Texas fans may have to accept that Tom Herman's going to be back. Number four, win that bowl game. You know, the thing is that why winning the bowl game is going to be so important. It's not just like winning for Tom or sending the seniors out with a bowl win, their fourth straight bowl win, all these little stats that we're going to hear afterwards. But, you know, listen, if Tom Herman's going to be back, then what Tom Herman's got to do, what he has to do, he's got to send these guys out, not only them on a high note, but he's got to have the fan base say, okay. The fan base has got to be able to, at the end of the day, say, okay, finished 8-3. Not the season that you wanted, but you got to have the fan base be able to now say after the bowl win, well, it was only two points to TCU, and wasn't really that. It was really close to Oklahoma. It was 3 points versus Iowa State. You know, we're right there. In order to then talk themselves into being excited about spring football, to talk themselves into wanting to know more about what's going on with summer workouts and 7-on-7, to get excited about training camp and what that looks like and what that entails. Like, that is important. And so if you send them out on a high note, it helps. And again, I don't even know how these bowls are going to go. I'm not quite sure how this thing is going to go and how this thing is going to shake down. But if you could send them out on a good note, on a high note, I definitely think that would help Texas fans. I think that's something that definitely needs to happen. And number five, this is the last one, and I'll get into this and I'll let you go with this one. Both sides, Chris DelConte, Tom Herman. Each person needs to start working on their own contingency plans. Both sides. Both sides. Tom Herman has to know, okay, this next year, if I'm back, that's do or die for sure. Like that, there may have been a stay execution in December of 2020. There will not be in December of 2021. They won't be. And so that being said, he's got to start thinking about, okay, what's going to be my next move? Like, what does Tom Herman want to do? Now, you got to focus in on improving his team if you want to hang around. Like, that in itself is extremely important, okay? Cannot deny that. He's got to find a way to get these quarterbacks ready. Because you got to find one, you know, whether it's Jaquindon, Casey Thompson, Hudson Card. You got to get these guys ready. My belief is that Hudson will probably start, but either way, you've got to have those quarterbacks ready. But if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't happen, and it ends up being a 7-win season, or you know what I'm saying, maybe a 6-win, six. But God help us, it's six. I meant to say 8-6. I don't even want to be here for that. But I'll cover everything remotely from an island somewhere. But you know, if you finish in that 8-win range, it's like okay, and you've got to start thinking, Tom, okay, what are you going to do? And are you going to go try to do college again? Going to try to go in the NFL? Like, you got to start thinking of the plans that you want to do. And if you're Chris Delcani, you've got to start working on a list and get a definitive list of options. Like, you have to have a list that says, this is where I'm ready to go. This is my top guy. Maybe even make another run at Urban. It doesn't hurt to ask. Hey, I know you wasn't ready last year. Were you ready this year? I mean, maybe you do that. And then outside of that, you have the top coaches that are on your list and the top assistants, the ones that you've done your due diligence. You have talked to people within the coaching realm and coaching circles, and you've gotten a lot of feedback. And you know for sure, like the back of your hand, that these guys are going to be guys that can be incredibly successful here at the University of Texas. Both sides have to work on a contingency plan, because they may stay together for 2021, but how long will they really, really be together? I mean, Tom Herman is going to have to pop off in a way that he hasn't done since that Sugar Bowl season. He's going to really need a repeat of that. Maybe he can get another 2-year extension, but he's going to need something like that, something similar to that, in order to win over the fan base, right? And to have people who will have his back and have his support, and then also to help with recruiting. So if that doesn't happen, Chris Delcani, you've got to be more prepared than you were this time. It's a tricky situation, folks. It's a tough situation, because we're talking about a coach who still has a game left versus Kansas, who still has the opportunity to win 7 games, who potentially has the opportunity to win 8 games, who hasn't received the public backing from his athletic director, but it could happen at some point. And we've got this University of Texas thing, and we've got, you know, it's kind of so UT. It's so much about the drama, so much drama. and so little about the wins and the losses and the productivity on the field. It's just about some of this other silliness and drama that is associated with the program that wears out coaches. As I don't know if you do or do not know this, but it wears them out. And so these are the things that I believe that need to occur. If these things occur, that Texas fans can make it through the next month, Tom Herman can make it through, this coaching staff can make it through, Chris Delcani can make it through, Jay Hartzell will make it through. I feel like, the things that if it happens, help this program get to a better place, and at least you go start off the new year with a fresh start. If it doesn't happen, then what you've seen in November and December continues and lingers. And it's crazy. Jerry Springer, Maury Povich drama. Hell, Ricky Lake, just for shits and giggles for everyone involved. All right. I think I'm going to Lawrence, Kansas this weekend. I'm not quite sure because they haven't, the people at Kansas have not approved my credential yet. So I might be covering this from TV. I might be in Lawrence. But either way, I will be back here next week. So until we speak again, everyone enjoy your week. Be safe. Enjoy your Christmas shopping. Enjoy spending time with the family. Don't get too upset about not having the Urban Meyer stuff. Hopefully you've gotten that out of your system. And just remember what I always say. Live each day like it was your last, because one day it will be. We'll talk soon.